Hi, mommies. Welcome to the episode. I'm sitting here alone right now doing this front bumper because Tommy Mommy is sick today. He woke up feeling very gross and he can't talk. And you're going to hear him in this episode saying that he's in Vegas this week. But alas, mommies, he is not. He is sick and he is at home. And I'm going to be feeding him chamomile tea and petting his bear fur. And we're going to watch some crummy movies today until my bear feels better. So if you're expecting to see him in Vegas, apologies to the mommies. But he'll hopefully be up and running for next week at Cobb's, and I'll be with him there. So that's why you're not hearing his voice. So,
try not to fart at this hour, okay?
Oh, dear. What happened? Should I keep going? Oh, I didn't realize we're going to keep this in. Well, here it goes. So this episode, we do our all things comedy bumpers. So if you guys are interested, Laughspin, that website Laughspin is promoting their annual Reader's Choice Comedy Awards. You can vote now, and the voting ends on December 18th. Laughspin.com, go there and vote for your favorite things that you've read, I guess, in comedy. Also, tomorrow night, the Naughty Show Super Sexy Santa Show at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Sam Tripoli does that show, and if you're local, I highly recommend it. It's super fun. It's super nasty. There's always strippers and hoes and plenty of tattooed bitches dancing around, and you're going to love it. And also, guys, I know Christmas is around the corner, and if you're going to go into Amazon.com to buy our gifts, go through our website. Go through your mom's house podcast.com, okay? And that's it. Enjoy this episode. It's with Tom Rhodes. He was passing through Los Angeles. He'd just come back from Asia. And we sat down with him, and we had so much wine, and he and his wife sat here, and a lot of mayhem ensued. Enjoy it.
All right, we're rolling.
Try not to fart in this hour, okay?
Okay. It's a nice way to get things started. Do you want to tell our lovely listeners where they can see you fart?
Yes, Jeans. If you guys come out, I will fart for you January 3rd through 6th of 2013 at the San Jose Improv in San Jose, California. And then the following week, January 10th through like 13th at the Kansas City Improv.
Is that a guest date? January 10th through 13th?
Around there. It's a guesstimate because I don't know.
Somewhere in mid-January, you'll be in Kansas City.
Yeah, just drive out there and look for the signs that have my name on it and go in there.
Awesome.
How about you, Tommy?
Let's see. If you're listening, I am in Las Vegas at the L.A. Comedy Club. How does that make any sense? I don't fucking know, but that's what they named it.
Yeah, why did they call it?
And I also don't know where it is. Is that a good plug?
Just Google it. Wait, this is how we've been doing our plugs, Tom. We're like, just Google it. It's on my fucking website.
It's on my site. Just go buy a fucking ticket. And then, let's see, December 21st through 23rd, Cobb's in San Francisco.
Nice.
Yes, and you're coming, and you're going to do guest spots. So all of our listeners that have wanted to see us together, which we rarely get to do, you can see us together. And then the first week of January 2013... the Chicago Improv, which is not in Chicago, it's in Schaumburg. They'll be there January 3rd through the 6th. Check that shit out.
Well, they have delightful Asiago chicken.
You've told me.
And I know that I mentioned that.
I got to tell you something. I was doubting you.
It's really good.
I'm going to try that chicken.
I'm serious.
You've convinced me now.
It'll blow your mind open.
And our wonderful, delightful guest who smells delicious.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom Rhodes.
Yay! The Mommy Dome.
I will be at the Orlando Improv.
Okay.
December 20th through 23rd. And I will be at the San Francisco Punchline January 2nd through the 5th.
Somebody knows their dates.
Hey. Yay! Somebody's on point.
Well, it sounds like we're all playing quality rooms.
I like it. Yeah. Hey, this is called an A-Clubs podcast, everybody.
It's the alternative name.
Right. So, this episode of Your Mom's House.
Yeah, I'm very unprofessional.
That's all right. Who's it brought to us by?
It's brought to you by Stamps.com. Guys, with the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. Mm. With all the traffic and the parking and the people and the lines, it's going to be packed with everybody.
Might as well be on a horse.
Right? You may as well do that. It's going to be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. So do what we do and use stamps.com instead.
It is the best.
Oh, and hands down.
It is the best. Everything you've ordered from us all the Super Mommy packs, the jeans bundles, the shirts, the albums. You'll notice those packages arrive.
Yeah.
With stamps.com. What is that called? Stampery?
Stampery. Stampage.
Stampage? Postage. Yeah, that's the word.
It's postage. And it's awesome because, I don't know, Tom Rhodes, if you've ever used stamps.com.
Oh, my God, yeah. And, you know, especially during the holidays, you know, it's important not to hate people.
Yeah.
And if you go to the post office, you're going to hate people. You just, you know, as little interaction with people as you can, I think stamps.com is the way to go.
Yeah, if you want to keep your holiday cheer is what you're saying, and not be a Scrooge McDuck, use stamps.com. You can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. You can buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer.
As we do.
You can print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it. Then the mailman comes and he picks it up.
You can put a person in a box. You can weigh them on the scale and you can ship them back to your mother.
Jeans. You can send a pair of jeans home.
Blue jeans, dark jeans, whitewash, whatever, however you rock it.
It's so easy and convenient. So right now, you guys, there's a special offer when you use our promo code MOM, that's M-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no-risk trial. What you get is $110. It's a bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage.
Yeah, and what that is the scale gives you exact measurements and it gives you an exact postage reading.
Yes.
So you know exactly what it weighs. It calculates it for you. You just hit print. Packages out the door.
And this scale, I know it sounds like it's some huge thing at the grocery store. It's not. It's a tiny little thing. It's
cool,
like a
little
square.
Silver. Yeah, it's cool.
Anyways, so don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage of our website. Is it their homepage? Stamps.com.
Yeah.
And type
it's
in.
It's only our 25th read of this.
You usually read this bit, though. I've never read this out.
Okay.
I keep going to their website. I can't find stamps anywhere.
Listen, you can go to
stamps.com before you do anything. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in mom. That's stamp.com. Enter M-O-M.
Right. And the alternate you're talking about is that they can go to our website at yourmomshousepodcast.com and there is a banner which you can click on.
Right.
And that'll take you right to the offer as well. So both routes get you to the same place. We thank our friends at stamps.com for hooking us up. We love you. And are you ready to start the show?
Fuck yeah.
Let's fucking do this, man.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura, and
Christina Pajitsin.
Welcome to your mom's house.
All right.
Yeah.
Tom Rhodes is in the mommy dome. He's officially switched
from
coffee. He's drinking coffee to what's that?
To the good stuff.
To the good stuff. Here it comes.
The sound of fun.
And the party begins. Welcome, Tom Rhodes.
Thanks, friend.
Wow. What an opening, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, that was
intense.
Just for you.
That's
a unique. Every show has its own
really?
Clip. Yeah, absolutely.
And you thought, wow, noisy people yelling is that will totally kill this guy.
Well,
here's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so now Tom and I met in Amsterdam filming Showtime.
Explain yourselves.
Explain yourselves.
I met Tom Rhodes in Amsterdam. We were doing the Showtime specials live from Amsterdam. And Bert Kreischer goes, oh, I'm a
Tom Rhodes. Yeah.
And here's Tom Rhodes, the man in black. He's the Johnny Cash of stand-up, right? And he's all black. And I was like, I don't know. This guy seems really intense. But we ended up really getting along and having a lot of fun together. And now you're here, and I did your podcast a little while ago.
Yeah, it was cool when we met, though. We hit it off instantly and started talking about philosophy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And had this deep conversation about philosophers. How many people you talk on that level with?
No, yeah.
And I had just, I've been on a philosophy kick with my wife, because
your lovely wife is here.
She's here.
Yeah.
And so I thought Christina was amazing.
Yeah.
And as a person.
Wow.
And then she killed it. On the stage, on the taping.
Tom Rhodes killed it.
Well, I know, I've heard a lot about you, Mr. Rhodes, for a long time. And I got to say, in person, first of all, what a striking man this
is.
I mean, holy shit.
And his wife, too. I mean,
yeah,
she's
obvious. But I'm saying, I mean, yeah, no, she's out of control. But, like, this guy right here, he looks like a spokesman for, like,
I don't know, like
watches or some shit. You know,
I know.
Right? Don't you think, like, he's like the Omega or whatever?
Like those Tag Hauer. I don't even know how to
Tag Huey.
I don't even know what that is. Yeah.
And then he's got the voice. You got like a great voice.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's mostly cigarettes.
Well, that's what I try to tell people. You should keep smoking.
It gives you a great little radio raspy voice.
Absolutely.
But I appreciate the compliment on the looks. Lately, in the last couple of years, a few people have told me I look like Burt Reynolds.
And that's you, man.
That hurt me. Hurt me. Oh, but my God, you don't want to look like
you
that
don't
guy.
Look, but
well,
but Burt was aces back in the day.
The 70s. About a 10-year period, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they mean. They're saying you look like...
I don't know if they're talking about the smoking and the bandit period.
I think they might
be talking about evening shade period.
Tom Rhodes, a Burt Reynolds in his prime.
Absolutely.
That's who you
that's
are.
That's the name of this episode, Burt Reynolds in his prime.
But I get that stinging, ice-cold fear through my veins when someone goes, hey, you know who you look like?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and...
That's the thing is that they're obviously telling you that. I think it's obvious that they're making that association to a time period, like 25 years ago is when, you know, that's when they're saying it. And right now, I mean, he's had like 19 facelifts.
Right.
And each one like has more staples in it than the last.
Somebody
like,
told me this. I don't know if it's true or not, but when that sitcom that he was on, Evening Shade or whatever, that he would insist on coming into the editing room. An L.A. editor told me this. He would come into the edit and then there's like the knob with the laughter.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and he would like make sure that
his lines?
That he would really push up the knob and make sure he got huge laughs whenever he spoke.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think I know a couple comics that would do the same thing.
I think I did that on my comedy album.
That is phenomenal.
Well, now, okay, back to our original point here.
Yes.
The reason that we played that audio in the beginning
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was reading your Wikipedia page, and it said that your family's from D.C.
Yeah.
And that you guys... talk like black people and that you're kind of proud of that.
Yeah, very much
so. And that's
so.
Why you guys talk like black.
Yeah.
We actually got a clip of your family. We did a lot of research.
Thanksgiving dinner.
And
Nigga nice.
So that's your dad?
That's my father.
Wow.
I can't believe you found that.
Yeah, it took a lot. We had to call managers and agents.
But it's funny that that's the clip that you played. Now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, well, actually, that clip a listener sent us today. And so it was just, we have a bunch of stuff.
I've lived next door to the Rhodeses for years. This is a little conversation I recorded with his father.
That's right.
Well, the opening clip was from a train ride, obviously. I think you could tell that, right?
Yeah.
That it was on the train.
Yes.
And the guy.
Muffled.
Basically, what was the interaction that was happening was, I think two roommates were arguing on the train, and I don't know where the train was. I'm guessing Atlanta. And they were arguing, and one of them said, like, you know, he was like, are you calling me gay? You've jerked off with me many times before.
Mm.
And then the guy was like, what? And then the guy was like, you know, I get a lot of pussy. And he was like, you get pussy. I get pussy, and then it just escalated, and that was the
and that's why people don't ride MARTA
enough. Exactly.
But he was like, I eat pussy.
It was a list.
A list of what he does.
He was like, I fuck bitches every night. I can't even get hard because I fuck so much.
Mm.
I eat pussy. And there was like a whole list. Yeah.
That is how you prove that you're straight.
It is. It
over
is.
Over and over.
Yes. Either if you have a lot of contempt for gays, that's a good way to prove that you're straight. And if you talk about how much... Well, the gayest guy I ever met is not openly gay. But when I met him like my friends were like, this guy, wait till you fucking meet him. And when I met him, he was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, ah, oh, man. Like the first thing he said to me was like, just ate like so much pussy last night. And I was like, yeah, wow. Yeah. And he goes, I mean, I could eat that stuff all day. And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
Do you tell people this all the time? Because like most of us don't think about telling people how we could eat it all day. Like it's just
the straight guys don't sit.
Yeah, you don't go like, I fucking love eating it, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then another straight guy's like, oh yeah, because it's delicious, right? Like, no, it's not a straight guy conversation. It doesn't happen. You know? Like it's just not in the vocabulary to be like, it is really good though. Another thing I like is being inside of pussies. It feels good to have sex with them.
Right, because women, I don't know, like, we don't sit around just talking about how much we love dicks either.
Well, sometimes.
And the world would be such a better place if you did, though.
Yeah, it would. It would.
It depends. I'm Puerto Ricans, so.
Dick, I'll make you slap somebody in the face.
Yeah. It will.
There you go. So, okay, so Top Roads, you just had a new album drop.
I did.
So tell us about that.
And like, a special. And, a special came out recently, too.
Yeah, Light Sweet Crude. It's on Netflix now. Ooh, and then I did a CD. It's actually a double CD.
Jesus.
It's it's called Colossus of Me. And it's the same price as a normal CD, but I had recorded at the Ice House in Pasadena.
I love that club. A great place.
And I had a solid, I don't know what it is, like 57 minutes, and I thought, this is my next CD. And then a few months later, I was in Sydney, Australia at the Comedy Store, and it had a monster set there. It was somewhat different in that there was a lot of European people in the audience, and I got to tell a lot of my stories about getting maced in Paris and different things that have happened to me in Europe and in different places. So I thought, what the hell? Why not put out a double? That's only 50 cents more when you're making up the copies of it. So
is it only available hard copy? Or can you get
it's on iTunes and Amazon and all that stuff. And it's the same price as a, you know, one disc thing.
Right. Now, you've been, how many albums in are you now?
Or this is my third one.
Third album. Yeah. And the special, was that, how many specials is that, the one that came out?
I've done two Comedy Central half hours, and this was my first hour special.
Great. And, you know, we plugged it, because you are also part of the All Things Comedy.
Yeah, baby, the Super Friends.
So we, the Super Friends Network, and we plugged it a few weeks ago. We got a number of people tweeting and emailing us saying, thanks for saying that, like the plug. I went and checked it out on Netflix, big new fan. So people...
Sweet.
Responded very positively to
thanks,
the
guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, we're part supporters of the Super Friends Network at All Things Comedy.
And also, if you don't know Tom Rhodes, he's like a mega star in Holland. You're like the David Letterman.
I wouldn't say a mega star because now it's been a few years since the show is finished.
You've probably said this on a bunch of shows, but the way that you hear people's names in comedy when you're doing it a little while. And the first time I heard your name, and it was like, he's from Florida. He's, you know, done everything. And then the tag was, but the dude is fucking crazy famous in Holland. And then they were like, he hosts a late night show. And like, I was fascinated by that. Like, just that thing, you know, like when you just, a culture takes to you and you respond to it and like you become... so well. How did you even get going there?
I was playing in London a lot, and that led to gigs all over Europe. And then I fell in love with a Dutch girl, not the woman that I married, but I moved there for this girl. We were together for 2 years, and we broke up. I was still traveling a lot. All over the States, all over Europe, everywhere.
So you're already a world traveler guy, though.
At that point. And probably a little too much. It was a strain on the relationship. The girl broke up with me. And I was just about to move back to the United States. And these people were looking for an American to host a late night talk show. So I was in the right place at the right time. Wow. I got the gig. I got to stay in this country that I had fallen in love with. And be like the David Letterman. And to be that guy coming out from behind the curtain
so great.
With the $3,000 suit on, and then you stand on the X and you do the 5-minute monologue. Yeah. I mean, Come on, we all grew up watching
of course.
Carson and Letterman and dreaming of that. So that was cool. But the thing about Dutch people is they are unimpressed with celebrity. The Dutch people kind of, if you're somebody on television or something, it's they're so not impressed by you.
Right.
And I've seen Lenny Kravitz, different famous people walking around Amsterdam, and nobody bothers them.
Really?
And my wife, when I met her, it actually worked against me that I was television guy.
Wow.
Because she thought, this guy's celebrity is probably an asshole. I mean, I am an asshole, but I mean, that's like the Dutch perception. So, I mean, like, nobody's wildly famous in Holland.
Okay.
Even their Dutch people take great pleasure in going up to famous people and telling them why they're not impressed with them. It's a weird Dutch thing.
But here's the thing that
I'm not impressed with about you.
Right.
Here's why you suck.
You sold a million records. Well,
it's not even that good enough.
But why do you think, what is that in the culture? Why do you think that is?
There's a lot of old Dutch expressions. Some of them are great and some of them are not. Don't get your head above the grass or else you'll get it cut off.
Mm.
It's the tall poppy syndrome thing. They don't be normal. Normal is crazy enough.
I like that.
That's another
I like that
Dutch expression. But you don't try and stand out. Mm-hmm. Be normal. Blend in.
Is that because they're so tall that they throw that out there?
I guess. But it's, you know, there's, if you're born a dime, you'll never be a quarter. That's another Dutch expression.
Nice.
This is great. Yeah. I like this a lot. Now, can I ask you this? We've done stand up in a number of places, English speaking places, and that people always ask us, oh, does it translate? You know, you do Canada, Australia, UK, whatever. What's it like hosting a television show? Like, does everything that your sensibility is in comedy, does that play? You know what I mean? Or do you have to kind of...
They all speak English. There's a certain level of intelligence where most people speak three or four different languages.
Right.
There was a certain silliness factor that they liked to do on that talk show. They constantly liked throwing surprises at people. They liked bringing out girls in bikinis.
That's cool. I'm down
with
that.
Well, I mean, but it's cool if you're doing a show in America.
Oh, right.
But I mean, that sometimes was very unnecessary.
Oh, really?
They're Dutch, just like, yes.
And then when the physicist sits down, we'll have these two girls in bikinis.
Things
walk
like
up.
That. Sometimes, like if somebody said they were afraid of spiders, then all of a sudden here comes a rubber spider.
Oh, shit.
Coming down. So, I mean, but there was a lot of things I loved about the show. Like I would. Make a 5-minute film each episode where I would experience something of Dutch culture.
Oh, cool.
And that was my favorite. I got to spend a day with a Dutch farmer. A former prostitute gave me a tour of the... She does healthcare and social work for mm-hmm. working prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me a tour of the red light district, explained the sex industry to me.
Uh-huh.
I got a tour of gay Amsterdam by the guy that does the gay festival.
Wow.
I got to cover the prime minister debates. I had a press pass. I was on the floor. I'm talking to their biggest political leaders. I got to do so many cool things that even Dutch people wouldn't get to do.
What a great experience.
Yeah, it was an experience of a lifetime. I mean, there were some silly aspects to the show, like the bikini girls. But even that was cute sometimes. They would do the word of the day where they would try and teach me Dutch one word at a time, and a bikini girl would come out with a Dutch word on a card.
Yeah.
And the audience would teach me how to say it and tell me what it meant. And, you know.
How long a run was this show?
That was on 3 years.
That's pretty cool.
That's a good run.
Yeah, and nice. Any country, that's a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is the part that because I always think, like, you know, every time I get to play a new country and you have fun there, you go, I can't wait to come back, right? Like, we keep talking about how we want to go back to South Africa.
Even Amsterdam, I had the best time doing stand-up there. I would love to go back.
But what I wonder now is, like, it's almost like a cool thing that you were on television, you had your show for 3 years, you're not anymore, and it makes you, I think, like that's like a cooler commodity to go back. Like, when you go back, they're like, oh, shit, he's back, right? Like, do you still... play there, like you make that part of your run every year, every 18 months?
Yeah, once a year. I'll go there. Yeah, my wife's from Holland, so we have to visit her family.
Yeah, but I mean, you get to do like a shows there too.
Yeah. And yeah, I've you know, a few fans there. It's
yeah,
nice.
I'm sure
it's
you sweet. Do. Yeah, that's pretty yeah. great. I'm so into playing. Like I always tell, especially like comics that are well known. Like you know, you have your friends that like are bigger, like big names, and you're like, hey, like, do you not want to check out? Like Australia, oh, it's such a far flight. And like, yeah, right. you could pick up like $250,000 in 2 weeks there, man. Like, yeah. and they're like, that's just a fucking long a flight. Plane. Like, yeah. really, you don't want to go just scoop up $250,000? Like, you know, I mean, if you're like a big enough name in certain areas, you can really clean house there. Especially like as an American going abroad. Like, if you're, you know, there's like guys that are on TV or big, you know, just big names,
oh, yeah.
and they don't want to get on a plane.
Right.
That's so
like, that's the big, they're like, that flight sucks. I'm like, are you out yeah. of your fucking
you're
mind
so,
right now?
You're dope.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to leave all that out there because it's a long
one Xanax and two Bloody Marys? Yeah. The whole trip's about an hour and a half.
That's right, man.
How many statuses do you have on different airlines?
I have enough frequent flyer miles to have a helicopter on the roof within an hour.
Yeah, Mike.
I have a special number that I can call.
I love it.
Who's your primary airline, can you say?
Yeah.
I like American, primarily.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're executive whatever there.
What's your status?
Gold premier. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gold.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You know what's interesting about Tom is that you're kind of in this next category of comedian that's emerging now, like the Russell Peters of the world. Like you're an intern. You travel all over the world doing stand-up. It's not just like Tom and me where... Tom Segura and me, we're relegated to like the United States and every now and then we'll do a jaunt. Like your calendar is literally like, you guys just came from where? Malaysia, you said?
Jakarta. Yeah, and then Korea, we were there before.
And Korea, and you're doing like clubs or what's the deal?
Yeah, that was clubs like, in Korea. And then Jakarta was a comedy festival, so there was
so
one
crazy.
Little theater show.
So yeah, you're taking it to the next level where stand-up is going to be eventually where we're all going to do international.
Comedy is so red hot all over the world.
Yeah.
And there's so many international gigs already. And then there's just so many, just in Asia, cool comedy tours. There's Hong Kong, China, which they use primarily British acts, but there's also Kuala Lumpur, Singapore, Jakarta. Oh. Cambodia, Vietnam. There's really cool stuff all over Asia.
Oh, and there's one I heard. I mean, there's a comedy store in Bombay, which I would love to do that. And then in Bangladesh, some guy was like, there's a gig in Bangladesh.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't know if I would be. I don't know. That one's a tougher road.
I think it's like that Russell Peters, Tom Rhodes way of doing it.
Yeah.
It's the thing that like, that I, for me, it's like whenever I do anything internationally, on my way out, it's always like, so like, when can we set up the next run?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so many, especially here, I think it's because you get like, you have the luxury in America of doing like, you can just work here and make a good living, I guess.
Right.
But there's people who go like, I just don't want to do it. I'm like, why do you not want to do it? You know what I mean? Like there's a lot
I'm with you. I don't know why people wouldn't want to do that. And I think if I just do the States... my brain becomes mushy, you know? Yeah.
Well, you're naturally, as you can tell, you're like, when you're talking about those short films, you're a curious guy. Like, you like to inquire.
I like
things.
To, you know, absorb the culture, what's great about it, love food, love everything. Just, you know, language, expressions, like the Dutch expressions and things like that.
I
just
love that shit,
quirky
too.
Things about... when I talked to you before, Christina, you were telling me about Hungarian insults and things. Just
I love that.
Every
shit.
Culture's got like weird, cool, funny shit about it.
And it's always about your mother. I found even in Latin and Hungarian, it's all about your mom. If you can insult somebody's mother, it's like the highest.
It is the best thing to do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you can't get worse than that.
Yeah, yeah. The main like the go to insult in Peru. My mom's Peruvian.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, concha tu madre, you know?
Which is
concha tu madre is essentially it's a variation on fuck your mother or like I will you know I'm going like to fuck your mother.
That's great. My mother is from Argentina.
Really?
Oh.
I always get asked if I'm from Argentina because I have like stunning blue eyes and fair skin.
You look
and
like
they're like
handsome.
They're
handsome.
Like, man, you're from Argentina. And I say, no. Here's the thing. This is how much they insult me. They don't realize like what an insult. They'll be like Argentino, And I'll be like, no, I'm Peruvian. They're like, there's no way you're Peruvian.
Peruviano.
They're like, they look fucking terrible. I'm like, hey, man, my mom's Peruvian. And they're like, yeah, but you're definitely not. I'm like, I'm telling you. It's not like a, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you that I'm Peruvian. And they're like, that's not good.
My favorite vacation ever. Well, I was working.
I'm going to get some more
after
wine.
The late night talk show in Amsterdam finished, the same network let me do a travel program. Mm-hmm. And I got to do a highlight on Peru.
Dude, it's the best, right?
It's my favorite place I've ever been.
That's awesome.
My greatest vacation. Where's your mother from?
She's from Lima.
Okay.
She spent some time growing up in Trujillo, but most, like, basically Lima is, you know, the capital.
Right.
Is where she spent her
My mother's from Buenos Aires, and then her...
Look at that.
My grandfather was a airline mechanic.
Really?
And in the 50s... working for airlines was like the computer industry now. You could work anywhere. So then he got a job at the Lima airport, and they lived in Miraflores.
Oh, it's a very nice part of town.
That's the nicest part of Lima now. And then they transferred to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So that's how my mother's family came to the United States.
Did he work as the airline?
As an airline mechanic.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
I've been to Buenos Aires. I took a trip there with my mother, and this is how different the culture is in Argentina. When I went with my mother, I was 21, 22 years old, and so...
You're stunning back then. I've seen your headshots.
I'm pretty good. And this was like 40 pounds ago. I mean, it was really good. And then I'm with my mother, and my mother at the time is probably 55. Everybody, and I mean everybody,
hitting on your mom?
No, they thought we were a couple.
Oh, I've had that. It's gross.
But I mean, it's the only place ever been Ugh. Where everybody thought that. I mean, you could tell by the looks, by the thing. Like, we would go into a store, they'd be like, "Do you want to get? Are you getting something for your girlfriend?" I'm like, "That's my mom, man. Like, yeah. That's not my girlfriend." Like, if I had anywhere I've been with her, just one on one, you know, Peru, if anywhere in the States, nobody assumed that. Argentina, they were like, hey, your mom gets down, huh? Like that.
And like, in the Dominican Republic, I was 28.
Oh, right. Yeah.
My father and I went to a Club Med there, and everybody was like, you and your girlfriend, you and your wife will be seated for dinner. I'm like, that's so gross. It's so obvious we look alike.
But you know what that is? In Dominican Republic and Argentina, it's very
perverts.
Sexual. There you go.
Okay.
Perverted place.
Know what they are.
No. Yeah. Have you been? You've been down there?
Oh, to Argentina? Yeah. I've been 3 times.
You like it?
I'm in love with South America.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where we should go.
Oh,
spring.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been 3 times. I brought my mother the second time. First time I went with my brother, and we went to a soccer match that turned into a riot.
Oh,
they set the stadium on fire. And
holy
the
shit.
Oh my God.
Riot police came in with tear gas, beating people with sticks, and it was the greatest night of my life.
Yeah.
I've been to 1,000 baseball games. Nobody ever set the stadium on fire.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was really great.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I remember in Peru once, I wasn't at the game, but somebody shot off a flare gun, and the flare went up. And then went back down and landed in a guy's eye.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And so flare is going out of his head. And the game continued, of course. No delay. That is not.
There's no lawsuits.
Nothing. No.
Yeah.
Everything went on.
Society.
And I was in Madrid. I studied there for a semester in college when Real Madrid won the European Cup. And that was by far like the craziest I'd ever seen a city flip over. I mean, we're talking like the water barrel, you know, the police, like
right.
SWAT team shit come out. And you're like, holy shit. This is all because they won the cup, you know? Like there's a whole culture, like, which is part
they
of the fun part
it.
Of going all over the place, you know? That like however crazy people think that like, NFL fans are here.
No, they're nothing.
That's nothing compared to what soccer is.
Oh, yeah.
In
soccer
like Europe.
Hooligans.
Oh, yeah. South
There's
America.
A reason that exists.
Is this?
I love that shit.
Because we got this. Is this your dad?
He's like a son to me, man.
Yes.
That was your father.
Yes. That's what I thought. I don't know where you got these clips.
I told you we reached out.
<That's> so weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Just put it together.
Hey, can I ask you guys? No, you're married, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you two been married?
A year and a half.
Oh, you're nearly wed.
Yeah.
That's adorbs.
That is adorbs.
So Tom and I have been, we just celebrated our 4th wedding anniversary. And this morning, you know, I was gone all weekend. I just came home and I woke up this morning and I looked lovingly at my husband and I thought it'd be sweet, you know, just to play with him. And I massaged his little back and I get my little meat puppet. And I really, you know, all that fun.
Playful stuff.
Playful, fun cuddling. And then I go to squeeze his bum, his bum cakes.
Now, but we should, don't forget, okay, you reached under my boxers.
Well, yeah, you're my husband.
But
you're
I'm just
property.
Making the point that it's oh, very okay. important. You didn't just grab my butt. She reached under my boxers. Grab my butt.
Squeeze a little, just to give a little squeeze. And then he rips a gigantic fart as my hand is right there over his ass. And I felt the waves of heat and wind on my hand. Now, was that something you would do to your wife? Or is that just unique to us?
I think that's unique to you.
Interesting. Why do you say that?
You know, not that we don't use our butt flutes.
Okay.
But but yeah, we stay away from probing each other's butt flute.
I wasn't
all
intrusive.
Here's what I said. I didn't try. I didn't go, "Oh, I got a fart," and then jump on you, like sit on you and fart. You put your hand in the fart canal region.
Not inside. I grazed
right.
the top.
But I'm saying your hand went where farts happen. You know? Mm-hmm. That's another way of putting it. Mm-hmm. And then a fart happened. I didn't go, "Oh, I can't wait to fart on you." Mm-hmm. You put your hand down there, a fart happened, and then you're acting like I attacked you. It's not what happened.
It feels like an assault.
Why?
On my senses, on my love for you. Yeah. I was vulnerable. I went in loving.
Your love was tear gassed and beaten like those Argentinian soccer fans.
Thank you. You ruined a sweet moment.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's part of life.
Anyway.
Isn't there a philosopher you can cite that says that?
It's just farts are
do you
a
call
part
it,
of
do
life.
Do you call it a butt flute?
No, I love that. No? I like
yeah,
that a lot.
I like
ours.
That a lot.
I like that
Oh, that's
a lot.
What you guys say? Now, how long before you farted in front of each other?
Oh, it was... we've...
Who broke the fart barrier first?
Oh, that certainly was me.
Yeah.
God, it's always
I
the man.
I could have told you that. Jesus.
Yeah.
This lovely lady didn't rip it first.
No. How did you break the fart barrier with her?
It was probably in the morning when something like that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I think she remembers her face.
No,
I think.
She's drawing a blank there.
Wow. Seems
a
like
nice
a pretty
lady,
cool wife.
Huh? Yep. I can remember the first time Tom did this to me. Interesting enough, we were sitting on my couch in my old place, and he was in his boxer shorts. It was the morning, and we were sitting next to each other, and then he just grabs my hand and thrusts it into his crotch and then farts.
That's true.
And then he makes eye contact.
And
right.
That was a different time.
That was the first time.
I was much younger and more immature.
You know, the Dutch oven, when you pull a blanket. Dutch people, they all do that.
They love
they
that, huh?
They invented it.
That's where it comes from.
Is that how you knew that she loved you first, is when she did that to you after a few dates?
She's never done that to me.
No, she's far too lovely. She wouldn't do that. Look at her.
I know, she's gorgeous.
Absolutely.
A doll.
Yeah, she's not doing fart games, Christina.
Maybe. Well, anyways, I also had another thing that happened to me this week, and maybe this happens to you. I don't know.
Oh, I'd love to hear Tom's
thought. This makes me, especially because you're an international comedian, and I'm pretty much relegated to the United States. But I did a show in Schenectady at a theater, and I was sitting in the audience because this was a few female comics performing. I was on this lineup, and I'm in the audience, and I hear behind me a chatter of like, "Oh my god, I don't even like this fucking show. It's fucking sad." Like that kind of cunty chatter. And I look back and I see some fat pig on her cell phone and her face is lit up because she's on her fucking... Ugh. And she's totally doing that. I don't even know that, like being loud and shitty. And I turn around and I wasn't kind. I'm not going to pretend like I'm innocent. I turn around and I was like, "Could you please be quiet?" Like I was agitated. She responds by giving me the finger. Mm. Just bam, right there. Just fuck you. And I was like, "What?" And I, for some reason, that made me see red, where I was like, "Fuck me, fuck you." And I got up and I fucking got in her face and I was like, "Fuck you, fuck you. How dare you talk during my friend's set?" It was Mary Lynn Reich's Cub was on stage. "That's my friend you're fucking talking." And of course she did the drunk like, "I wasn't even talking. I don't know you're talking about." And I was like,
"I'm in trouble for laughing. I was just laughing." That's what they always say that.
"I don't know your time." And I was like, "Bitch," I look back and I see her mouth moving. And this is the best part. She goes, "Well, who the fuck are you?" And in my stupidity, I go, I'm a performer.
Oh.
Like that justified. I'm so stupid. And then she was like, well, get backstage then, bitch, is what she said to me. Wow. And I, at that point, I really felt like I could tear her head off. Like I was ready to beat this bitch up because I fought a bitch before. You know what I'm saying? In public school, 1989. And, but I didn't do that. Instead, I went and I got security and I, you know, made sure that she got a talking to. But for some reason, her thing just incited rage in me. And I don't know if every comedian has that, where like that one person, that one thing. And for me, it's white bitches, because white bitches are the most entitled audience members. You know what I mean?
It's usually the white sorority that ruins everything.
That ruins life, yeah. And that's my trigger.
Here in the States, right?
Yeah.
And you have international hecklers. So is there anybody or anything that really irks you?
I think
you?
In the United States, we have a certain amount of low-class people. And I think
that's everywhere, though?
There is, but they're at least they can control it.
Oh.
There was that incident that happened in Australia like a couple weeks ago, where there's some redneck racist guy. There was some French women singing a song. You can see the YouTube video of it.
Okay.
And they're just this two guys, and they're just yelling at these women, and I'll cut you like a filet. And the guy was like, oh, totally shit. Racist and don't come to their... I mean, so like weird things like that will happen in Australia or different places, but like generally internationally at audiences, people are very well behaved. And I think even if even if they're not enjoying the show, you rarely see people going on their phones.
That's the one kills me.
Yeah.
But has there ever been a heckler that just had your number and you've lost your shit on them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's happened in the United States, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting. Well,
you know what? You know what else what happens more internationally, I feel like, in my limited experience, though, is that there's more respect for the idea of the show. In other words, we're at a performance.
Well,
so
yeah. But in London, you will get heckled. Sometimes they just want to see what your metal is.
Right.
And if you'll capitulate, sometimes
gross.
You'll get heckled by people in London, and they just want to see if you're sharp enough as a comedian to deal with it and not fold.
Mm-hmm.
I think the American, because stand-up is truly an American art form as far as I know. And I think that it's existed in this country for so long that people are used to it. It's not seen as like, it's not valued as an art form because first of all, they serve alcohol. And they serve fucking nachos. And you would never go to like a Shakespeare performance and they're like, here's your nachos,
or an
sir.
Art gallery where they're showing some paintings. Hey, here's some nachos with some cheap cheese all over it.
And some beer during your performance. So it does lend, we put ourselves in the way of that kind of bullshit because it's not valued.
I think there's some people who think that like what we're talking about, like we're not talking about comic, you know, not being able to want to deal with people yelling shit out. Like, I have no problem doing shows and somebody's like, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
and then
you
go, bam. And that is part of stand-up. What is incredibly disheartening and breaks your spirit and fills me with rage are the people that are at the show that don't even want to be, like, they're on the phone, they're texting, they're talking, having full conversations. And I've had countless times where not in the audience, I'm on stage and I've seen like the staff come over and be like, hey, can you, and they go, we're not even talking I'm watching them talk.
Yeah. I don't even know.
They don't even want to be there. You're like, dude, what are you fucking doing here? Well, just tell a joke. Hey, asshole, you're not listening to jokes. So what do you mean tell me to tell a joke? Why don't you fucking leave? And I do see red and go crazy.
But usually I can transcend my anger and find a way to be amused by it. But something about this woman.
Yeah, no, there's times when you can, but there's times when it's super like entitled and disrespectful, where what happens is you shut off what I think is like your better stand-up.
Your higher self.
Which is like more vulnerable.
Right.
And you go like, I'm not going to say any of this shit because you don't deserve it. I'm going to go back to whatever, my first year of jokes.
Yeah, I'm going
to
horrify you.
Because I don't feel like giving you now you made me feel like, you know, like I don't want to give you like who I am.
Best, yeah.
Because you're so disrespectful to the show. You know what I mean? Like you don't even want to be here. you're talking during the whole thing. I'm not gonna tell you who I like, who I really am, or what I think about. So I feel.
Well, I think it's a core problem with American society and our entire society, and all of our technology, and all of our television and mass media makes each individual think that they are somehow important and that their life matters, and that you are. That's all of our advertising and marketing is. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel special. Eat this candy bar. Buy this product, and they think, oh my God, the whole universe revolves around me. And fuck this show. I'm gonna. Is anybody on Facebook or Twitter or what? Well, they're just people that have no manners whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's because our society has conditioned them that they are important.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. It's a total self-entitled thing. You know, I mean,
yes.
I did a show last year where it was one of those shows where like 10 minutes in, you're like, this could not be going any better. And I happened to notice like the one guy who like
wasn't laughing.
Yeah.
Don't and instead, look at that guy.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where you go, like, where I've learned that, like, when you see that guy, don't address that. Like, there's not, you have 99%.
Don't look at him. That's always your eyes keep going back.
Yeah.
Did that joke get him?
Yeah.
Did that joke get him?
Well, not only did I look at him, but I was like, are you not having a good time?
Ooh.
And I put the brakes on my own fucking roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, I'm not having a good time.
Ooh.
And then the lady who was sitting with him has her phone up.
Oh.
And I was like, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm playing Scrabble.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And I was like, oh, really? She's like, yeah, this show sucks. And I was like, what? And like, it really was like one of those things. I was like, I thought this was like as good as it can get. And then it went on and I was shitting all over. They stayed. The weird thing is they stayed till like 95% of the show was done. They left in the last 5 minutes. And then after the show, I'm like, with the staff, I'm like, you don't tell somebody that says they're playing Scrabble and keeps their phone out for the whole show to leave or to put the phone away? And they're like, who was playing Scrabble? I was like, the lady that I kept addressing playing Scrabble. The lady that I asked if she had the letters C-U-N-T on her phone. like that lady. You didn't see that? They're like, we totally missed that. I'm like, that was fucking half the show. And they're like, yeah, we missed it. But shit like that, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it could happen anywhere
Rhodes
in the world.
Is a professional.
But I feel
like
there's certain clubs like the Comedy Store in London where the guys that work there are beautiful. They swoop in like eagles and just will extract somebody for yelling shit out or being disruptive.
Yeah.
And then there's clubs that don't do anything because they're afraid to lose a customer. So where's the middle ground?
That's a good point.
The Comedy Store in London, they actually, in the sound booth, they have closed circuit televisions at every angle on the audience. So there was one time I was there was a guy, and they didn't know if he was drunk or if he had like some kind of disability.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So they went into the booth and they, because the guy had said a few things and they're studying. No, okay. It looks like he might, you know, have MS or cerebral palsy. Because at first they thought, oh, this guy's drunk and slurring. Let's get him out. And, you know, they're very scientific about it.
Somebody
cool.
Who told the story about that where they were like, fucking make him stop. Like he's making so much noise. And they were like, he's having a good time. Who was that?
In Peoria, I think. Wasn't it me? No, there was a woman in my audience one night who was like totally like chatting and weird and like looking away and being like, ah, my dad! Like she would spout out.
Yeah.
And I was like, either she's drunk or something else. And it turned out to be something else. So I'm glad that I didn't call her out.
This happened at a show. Somebody told me where they were on stage and in the back they were like, will you shut the fuck up, like after like 10 times, and they're like, he's, you know, I can't do anything. And then he ended up giving him a shot that put him out.
Oh yeah.
So the guy dropped out. It's like, you put the guy out who's having a blast at the show because he goes like he makes like a noise that you can't deal with. It's horrible.
Don't you feel like they should warn you? Like, hey, there's a guy in the back.
I totally appreciate that.
Yeah, just tell me so I don't freaking
freak out. I played at the Comedy Store in Sydney, Australia years ago. And it was a kind of a small audience. Maybe it was like a Tuesday night or something. And there was a guy in a wheelchair. I don't know what. He had like, he was hooked up to all kinds of machines. Mm-hmm. It was a real, expensive wheelchair that had life, right? You know, machines keeping this guy alive or something.
Expensive wheelchair.
I don't know. I don't know what. And the guy's kind of laying horizontally. He had this like kind of tube for breathing or something in his mouth, and he would let out this. But he was great, and he laughed at the darkest, most twisted comedy. But the audience was uncomfortable. Uh-huh. This guy made the people feel weird. But, and I told them, I said, you know, fuck you people. I only care about his laugh tonight.
Yeah.
Because when he laughs, I'm playing with this audience's clit.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that I have I've hit the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
When that guy... And then the guy came back and saw me like the next couple of years when I would come back. Aww. And the guy obviously had a really twisted sense of humor because he only laughed at really twisted stuff.
That's awesome.
But he was great. And it was the upright, healthy people who you know, were a little stiff.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite comedy rooms ever are AA rooms?
Oh,
When you do an AA room, they're stone cold sober, and it's usually like in a church or something, but they laugh at the darkest, most twisted shit because they have been there and done that.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the best crowds, like just broken. Who that here's one, had a divorce? All hands up.
That one, I did that one in the valley. Yeah.
You right, talk that's
about,
what I'm talking about.
You talk about stabbings and fucking, you know, when your teeth fall out and they're like, oh, yeah, I fucking know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who's ever been tasered by the cops? Everybody, hands up all around. It's great.
It is the best, man. Oh, shit. All right. Well.
I like that. Oh, it's that time.
What time is it?
Is that for my South American roots?
No. This is a very special moment in the
show. This is your quinceañera music, remember?
Yeah, you remember when you had your big 1-5, right? The big celebration.
Did they do that for boys,
no,
too?
No, just chicks.
How come? That's not fair.
I don't know.
When do you become when do you become a man in Latin culture?
Usually when you get a blowjob, which is like 11, 12 in Latin culture.
So, okay, Tom Rhodes, this is a game we like to call Fill Her Up and Seal Her Shut. And because this is going to air right around Hanukkah, I'm going to give you two names of very famous Jewish people.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me who you would rather fill up and seal shut.
And you're filling up and sealing shut with the same equipment. You know what I'm saying? You're filling her up. Well, like you're filling her up with your, you know, with your load.
Okay, can I ask my wife, is it okay if I answer these questions and in a facetious manner?
We prefer you to be as graphic as possible.
Yeah, okay. She's from Amsterdam. She's cool
she's
with
parties.
It. Come on, red light district. Okay. Would you rather fill up and seal shut? Here are your two options.
Okay.
Jewish edition.
The Jewess. These are Jewesses.
Uh-huh.
Bette Midler. Mm-hmm. We're going old school. Or, I can't read my own writing.
Barbara Streisand?
Oh, Barbara Streisand. Sorry, yeah. Barbara Streisand or Bette Midler. Who would you rather fill up or seal shut with your love
sauce? Wow.
With your love sauce. And you've really got to, it's not like close your eyes.
Right.
This is an all-day marathon.
This is kind of easy.
Okay, cool.
Bette Midler, hands down.
Wow.
Just because, I think funny people are attractive, even if they're not, you know, model bodies. And just the joy and laughter that Bette Midler has given me, I most certainly could honor her womanness and the soul of her as an entertainer. I would joyously, tenderly fill her up
and seal her shut
and seal her shut.
Now, have you not seen the new trailer to the Barbara Streisand Seth Rogen movie? Looks like a lot of laughs.
I haven't. I think Barbara would be more persnickety than Bette.
I'm not going to disagree.
I think Bette would be more fun in bed. I think you could laugh, have more fun with her, where I think Barbara would probably be more dominant and a little bossy. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
She probably probably wouldn't like your licking technique and would probably, kind of instruct you, and then you get all mental in your own head, and then you're losing your focus.
You're like, wait, is this the spot? Is that the spot?
Right.
Where's
Why
the spot?
Couldn't she just shut up and go with it?
Right.
Where I think Bette would laugh and you would, you know, easily...
Has anybody played the game as well as Mr. Rose?
I don't think anybody has. Congratulations. That was your first time out. Yeah. I mean, it's like you've been playing this game forever.
I was afraid you were going to do the describe your penis game with me.
Oh, that's the Dick Detectives. That's a different. Wow. Now I wish
do you know
we had
how that,
that.
Do you know how that.
I'm glad I got the Jewess.
We
can
do Dick Detectives because we have the results.
This was great. You
know? Oh, no. How uncomfortable is that going to be?
Are there a couple other Jews?
Is this when Bette Midler walks in?
And you fuck the shit out of him. No. What's your answer? Can you even give me?
Oh, I am 100% on board with Midler as well. If you look at their type of shows that they put on, you know, Babs is stand there and fucking pop, you know, raise a hand kind of shit.
Right.
Right.
Bette Midler is like old school entertainer.
Midler does
like
fucking
show
kicks.
Yeah.
That's a show. And, and you take that to the bedroom.
Right.
I mean, Midler's going to be like, what are you, a fucking fat? Like, she's going to talk shit.
Right.
Sit on your face and just smack you around.
Have fun.
Laugh, mm-hmm. talk, you know, spit in your mouth. It's going to be fun.
Spit in your mouth.
Like a lady.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go opposite of you guys, and I'm going to say Barbra Streisand.
Okay. And your reason?
Because I might want a more intimate, loving session. I'm not into it for the spitting in my mouth or vulgar staple my tits to the desk, like you like to say. I'm not into that. I'm into a good time. I want to talk, maybe light some candles, a sensual massage.
Have fun at your snore fest. Me and Rhodes are going to double team Midler.
I'm glad you agreed with me that Barbra would be bossy.
So stupid.
Just, you know,
I do. I think
so. You'd be too much in your own head.
And you know what else you'd get called out on with Babs? If you tried to get a little crazy
on
her.
That's why I like her.
No, you're like yeah. I'm gonna do one extra thing, like what, something kinky. She'd be like, are you serious right now?
Can you turn around? Can you get on your knees? Yeah. Why? I'm not going to do doggy style with you. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
And then you feel bad even bringing it up. You're like, oh, wow, I'm dirty.
And then she's like, where'd your heart on go? And you're like, well, you kind of made me feel weird. I thought we were going to do I can do it, but, you know, you yelled at me.
But I like that. I want to learn from her. I want to get her essence.
You have fun, okay? Tell us how it went.
No problem.
Who are the other?
Okay, so these are the male. We like to do one for the dudes. So who would you rather have fill you up and steal you?
Hey, wow. I didn't know it was a two-parter.
You got a tour of the gay district of Amsterdam.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we also, continuing with the Jew theme, I'm going to do Woody Allen, very famous Jew, or Mel Brooks, another famous
Jew.
Ooh,
tough tea.
Too funny.
Because you got me two funnies. I would have to do both those guys at the same time.
Wow, yeah. That's a first. Yeah.
That's a first. We've never had that.
I'd have to be a bus station whore for both of those guys.
That's the first time we've heard. That is genius. Nobody's ever thought.
And you know what? I think both of them would understand.
I think so, too.
I think they'd both be, you know,
wow.
happy to accommodate.
You've
though.
Left my cock alone for a moment.
My existential crisis.
I think it'd be really cool. I mean, I would definitely feel like a casting couch chick with Woody. And I think with Mel, I'd be like, this is fun. We're having a good time, right? And he's just like, you know, whatever, throwing pastrami at me. But I think Woody would be a little more reserved. And I think at the end, he'd be like, by the way... You're not getting a part in my next film or something.
Oh,
you know?
I hate that.
Like,
oh,
I think for each guy, I could think about their best movies and really be turned on.
Yeah.
Oh, Annie Hall. Oh, Bananas. And then, like, I'd think about...
Blazing Saddles.
right. But then Blazing Saddles or High Anxiety. And then I'd remember, like, Men in Tights, and I'd start to lose it a little bit.
Right.
And then I'd have to go back to Woody and, you know, oh, Midnight in
Manhattan,
Paris. Oh,
right.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and then Manhattan. And then you start losing it a little bit.
Crying motherfucker.
Then
wow.
That's
what,
my dad.
That's your dad. Your dad walks in after Woody Allen finishes and he goes,
crying motherfucker.
And you're like, Dad. That could happen.
That's what happened.
That's a real scenario.
You know what, you guys? I'm going to have to go. Artistically, I like Mel Brooks a lot more than Woody Allen because here's my thing. Woody Allen does the same thing Steve Martin does in his films, it's redemption through young pussy. Because they hit an age where they had the midlife crisis and it's all about fucking 20-year-old chicks and finding redemption. So Woody Allen, I'm going to choose despite that. because he could do more for my career. He could make me his Scarlett Johansson.
So you're going to do the casting couch.
I'm going to totally bang this guy to be put in his movies. Because that's what, apparently, that's what you have to do.
You know how little respect I have for people who don't do that?
Thank you, baby.
I really would support you having sex with Woody
how
Allen.
How easy would it be to have sex with Woody Allen, though?
I don't know, but I'm all on board for you doing it.
He would. It would be so
write
quick.
A letter right now. Write him an offer. Write down in your journal.
Mel Brooks, I admire so much.
He's here. He's local. We could go over to Mel Brooks. He is.
Where does he live?
He lives in Beverly Hills.
We're not. That's not close.
We're in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean,
okay.
Woody Allen, we got to get on a plane. Yeah. Set up an appointment.
He doesn't drive.
We could just drive up to Mel Brooks' house and be like, hey, my wife's here to fuck you. And he'd be like, I'm fucking 104. Give me a break.
I would have to hide my contempt for Woody. That's going to be the problem.
All right, can we not put that out there? I don't want Woody to hear this.
I know. Now you'll both never work for him.
Jesus.
I think I'm too old anyway. I've aged out.
Oh, not
Wait,
true.
How old is Sun Yi? Am I older than Sun Yi?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Sun Yi Previn is what? 28?
What would be really funny is at the end of this podcast, if Bette Midler pulled up, took me to a house with Woody Allen and Mel Brooks waiting.
And then she set up a camera and hit record and be like, here's their next film.
I wish.
What if you became famous, like really famous, off of a sex tape that is you having sex with Woody Allen and Mel Brooks at the same time?
Oh my God, that'd be the best thing ever.
And that's your sex tape. You know, it's the talk. Like everybody talks about it for like a month, but then you're just part of like, they're like, yeah, I know that's how we first fucking heard about you, but now you're just, you know, you're part of the...
I see working in Vegas forever after that. Yeah. I'm just coming out in a bathrobe, sitting out, you know, on a stool and just recounting the...
That's what I wanted, a bathrobe.
I mean, if the Octomom can make a porn and get awarded for it... I
25
mean,
years from now, people will be like, ah, fucking, I love the three-way you did with
Mel Brooks.
I used to watch it at parties all the time.
Oh,
man.
My
You're
God, the effort you put. You really cared about those guys. You could really feel that.
And, you know, after I saw that, I checked out your specials. And, yeah, that was great. Yeah. Like,
I started watching some old Woody Allen films. I didn't know he was a stand-up. I found out about it all from your sex tape.
We got to get you a sex tape.
God, don't you think that's the worst thing that could happen to you?
What, have a sex tape come out?
Yeah. I'm not sure if that would be...
I'm just glad that technology didn't get to that point when I was younger. That, yeah. Like the accessibilities of camera phones and video cameras that, you know... I mean, you know, when I was in my early 20s, you had to have the big VHS tape into a camera, you know, to film something.
Right.
And it was heavy on the shoulder.
The crazy one, the recent craziest one, was Hulk Hogan's.
I haven't even seen
no.
that one.
That one's really weird because...
Was he wearing his yellow man panties?
I think he had on tidy yellows.
Really?
What's his catchphrase?
Fuck, what is it?
The banana hammock. Put the hurt on you. What is it?
Get you some of that.
Yeah, it's something stupid.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's some dumb shit.
The Hulk-o-later.
You've been Hulked, bitch.
Yeah. Let's make one up.
Well, he fucking... Bubba the Love Sponge, radio guy.
Yeah,
Hulk had sex with Bubba's wife.
Mm-mm.
Oh no!
But Bubba set it up. Like Bubba
Nuh-uh.
was like, yeah, like cool.
Set
have
it
fun.
Up.
Like do your thing. It's
Are
cool.
Are they swingers? Wow. Is that
well? And then, but here's the thing: is that Hulk? Oh, it's.
Do you want more wine, sweetness? Sorry, I didn't mean to put a panic. I know. Okay, so Bubba was like, "Do this."
Bubba had a camera rigged. And and secret, like, she knew, but Hulk didn't know.
Wow.
And then Bubba was like, if we ever get into, we ever really need some cash, we'll have this. And we can sell this.
Wow.
So and they were, like, best friends. So it was pretty fucked up.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Wow. That's...
So if a guy tells you you can have sex with his wife,
just
careful.
Look around first.
Oh, shit.
Look around the room. That's all we're saying. You should fuck her, but you should look around the room.
Why is that little red light under that baseball?
Don't worry. That's some
what
security
is that?
Shit.
You don't want to know about that.
That's just a laser
now,
for water.
Is Bubba, isn't he like a big, like a morbidly obese?
I don't think so.
Oh, I picked him.
I mean,
him
he's a big dude,
right,
but I don't think he's like, well, I'm sure someone's going to email us and tell us how wrong I just got the story. So we'll just wait for that. No, you fucking retard. It's not what happened. So we'll just wait for that. But yeah, no, I don't think he's a big dude, but I don't think he's, and his wife is, he might be his ex-wife now.
Well, that'll do
is,
it.
Is she was hot, very attractive, and he.
I
was
believe
just like,
it's called cuckolding, right? Where you like to watch your wife. Have
but he
sex
wasn't
with
in the
dudes.
Room. He left. He
but
was
he
like
videotaped
oh.
it.
No, no. There was like a camera that he did it just for the monetary. Yeah, like, yeah. So we'll have Hogan.
That's what he says.
Well,
whatever.
He
you're
might
right.
have liked it for some.
All right. We got to wrap this up. We got a
no.
We got a would you rather? I thought
we are.
Okay, all good. Are you ready?
You got something for him. Okay.
Your answers are the best so far. This one is this the remix?
Yeah,
I like this one. Ready?
Yeah.
It's pretty good, right?
Our would you rathers are to the Cosby theme remix.
I don't even know why we started that.
I don't know either.
Okay, would you rather? So you're going to pick between these two evils, obviously.
Okay.
Would you, this is so dumb. Would you rather every time you make sweet love to your wife and you bagok, it's clam chowder comes out of your penis?
Oh, my God.
It's not totally disgusting. It's a little amusing, but it's kind of gross. Okay, so every time you ejaculate, it's clam
chowder. Would it be
chowder.
The kind of clam chowder that has like the large hunks of potato in
yes.
it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So you'd have not only the soft little lumpy clam part,
right.
but you got this kind of like the
chunky
the
carrots,
chunkier,
little cubed carrots
little,
maybe.
Little
is that
chunky,
what's in there?
The carrots don't frighten me as much as the potato hunks.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And but like your hole gets used to it. So
okay, and now is this white clam chowder or uh-huh. red clam chowder?
Oh, white.
Okay.
Clearly.
Okay.
I mean, duh.
And in this scenario, your wife loves clam chowder.
Okay.
Yeah, she loves it. Okay.
Okay.
That or every time you sneeze, you just shit instantly.
Wow. Well,
like in your pants, like you just
a full shit
in your pants.
Well, if the scenario was my wife really loved clam chowder and I was squirting clam chowder, I would definitely go with the clam chowder. Even if it had chunky potato parts that might be a little painful on the exit.
Now, I jumped in there when I shouldn't have, so let's...
Really, yeah. If you sweetened it for me.
I did. So let's take that out of the equation.
Okay.
Let's actually reverse it. Your wife hates clam chowder.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still do the clam chowder or do you sneeze and shit?
Or is it, maybe she's ambivalent. Do they have clam chowder in Holland?
No.
Does she even know what this
Mm-mm.
is? No, she has no idea. Have you ever had clam chowder? You've had it. And how do you feel about it? She's on the edge. She says so.
On the edge.
So.
Have you ever seen Tom shit his pants?
Not yet.
Okay.
Give it a few
years. I'd still go with the clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. What about you, T-Buns?
Oh, definitely clam chowder.
It'd be cool to just squirt something that was edible.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. No, but imagine the process.
But here's, I got to tell you, as big a
cool
fan of seafood as I am, I would be eating my own clam chowder.
I know, that's terrible.
Yeah, it'd be pretty. I would be like, I would be doing that thing where I roll myself, my butt over on my face and just like all day, just like, I'm
squirt.
Having lunch.
Wait, but do you get a bread bowl too?
This is a gross episode, huh?
I know. Oh. That is so gross, babe. But here's the process. Your whole
life.
Oh, my
God, you guys are so disgusting.
You would have to find a woman that enjoys clam chowder that much. Do you understand? Like, that's your whole 20s and your sexual life where you're like, P.S., I come clam chowder. I don't know if you're into clam chowder or not.
There's some fisherman's daughter and some some seaport.
Some Alaskan chick. Yeah. Who's like, clam chowder comes out of
you
your
like,
dick?
Do you like clam chowder? Oh, my God, I love clam chowder.
And you're just like, I'm going to grab you the back of the head. Don't just watch. You're going to enjoy this.
Surprise. I'm going to go for the other one. I would
shitting your pants?
Shitting your pants every time you sneeze.
I don't sneeze that often.
But that's a huge...
But here's the thing. I sneeze in threes. I never just sneeze once. I sneeze. It's always achoo. And then here comes another one. Achoo. And then it's always in patterns of threes.
Yes.
So
I
would just shit my pants excessively.
You'd be a lot. Yeah, and think about the times you do shit. It's going to be on a plane, in a cab, you know?
Ooh.
Walking into a restaurant.
But you can also cut a sneeze off at the bend. Like, I got a sneeze, and then you kind of
I never
stop
accidentally
it.
Come. So, I mean, you could control the output of clam chowder.
This ended up being
if I got on a little machine gun sneeze
thing. It would be really messy.
Yeah.
I would prepare for it. I would bring adult diapers. Yep. One time I sharted on a flight to Africa.
Yeah.
I had my first shart on a plane. And it wasn't ideal, but I dealt with it. You know what I mean?
We're talking like a full loaf. I mean, she's really shit.
And I adapted and I moved on. And it was okay, so...
I got sick flying back from Peru. I know you're ending the show. I will try and... short version of this story, but we were on the island. We went to Lake Titicaca.
Yes.
Mm.
Great name.
We went to Amantani Island.
Okay.
And it's populated by native people. Uh-huh. These are ancestors of the Incas, and there's no electricity. And we actually stayed with a family. And they had a dirt floor kitchen, and the woman was making us lunch, and there's like chickens walking around and chicken shells. And I thought, if I'm going to get sick in Peru, it's going to be here.
Right.
Absolutely.
But I thought, I'm going to eat whatever this woman puts in front of me because they were such lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a problem eating the food. Flying back to Amsterdam from Lima, we stopped in Atlanta, Georgia for... I don't know, a 10-hour layover, and my Dutch colleagues wanted to go to an American mall. Mm-hmm. I know Atlanta really well. The Lenox Mall is the swanky mall.
Yeah.
We went there. We had lunch somewhere. I had undercooked bacon in my sandwich, and from Atlanta to Amsterdam, I was shitting and vomiting. I couldn't come out of the bathroom for hours, and it was the worst.
That is the absolute worst.
And then finally, I get it together, and then I'm trying to go back to my seat, and somebody's standing there. Hey, pal, you might want to use a different one. That was the worst flight ever.
Were you in coach?
I was in economy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's rougher because you have so many people vying for those precious, precious toilet spaces.
I was in there for hours. It was brutal.
That's my worst.
But
it was
funny. I didn't get sick in Peru at all.
Yeah.
I got sick at the fancy expensive mall in Atlanta.
I know, man. I've gotten nothing worse than flying. Flying with stomach. Stomach is the worst of like the illnesses that you can get and get over. I think I would rather be like sinus infection than the stomach, man. That is the absolute worst.
I don't like it at all. I can't deal with it.
It is the worst.
But I've been real blessed, knock on wood, in terms of getting diarrhea on planes and stuff for stomach problems. It hasn't happened, like I said, yet, but I kind of plan for it. I'm a little neurotic. There's certain things I won't eat before flights, a few hours, like...
Bouillabaisse.
Sloppy Joe's, tacos. Tom and I made the mistake of eating Mexican food and then getting on the plane to Africa, which is why I sharted.
That was so dumb.
It was airport Mexican.
Exactly.
Ew.
We got airport Mexican in Atlanta, and then 3 weeks...
Atlanta's a killer, man.
It is, man. And then Africa for 3 weeks... Not a fucking problem.
Well, I don't know. I had problems because I would eat the salads and then I would wake up at like 3 a.m. and shit.
Yeah, but some of that was just, you know.
Look at Tom Rhodes. Like, I can't believe these people.
You guys are just so open about your
excretions. Yeah. I know. We got to work on that.
No.
We got to dial it back.
Why? It's too late. The Pandora's box has been opened.
I know. I just found another clip of Tom's dad.
Bitch! It was so quick.
He was saying something about bikes.
Bikes! That's it.
That was
when I asked him, what am I getting for my birthday? Bikes!
Do you have one of Tom's dad in Florida?
Yeah.
Because you're from Orlando, right?
I am from I'm from a town called Oviedo outside of Orlando.
I don't even know. And I did a lot of Florida coming up as a feature act.
Yeah.
I did almost every shithole in Florida.
Yeah, there's no clubs in Oviedo.
Never heard of it. Yeah, so that's why.
Yeah, Tom and I both went to high school in Florida.
Shut the front
door. For sure. Oviedo High.
Okay.
Vero Beach. What's up, VB, man? 772.
VB.
This is a speech that Tom's father gave to him right before the Oviedo High School football team played in his last game.
This personal right here, bro. It's personal. You in my face in my house disrespecting me. I got to do something about it. My family right there, bro. I got to protect my mama. My mama's sitting in the stands, man. Your parents sitting right there. They're in your house, man. Your mama in the fucking stands. They try to disrespect me in my house and grab a fucking remote control. That's exactly what they did. They come in your house, grab a fucking remote control, Derek Willis, and control your fucking TV and your motherfucking house. Team Diddy, they can't run in the house. Put on the same shit you got on and say fuck you.
Wow.
That was actually my brother.
That was your brother.
That was actually my brother.
Wow, man.
You must actually, it sounded like my brother because my family were Redskin fans.
Okay.
We were all born in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And we moved to Florida when I was 12.
Okay.
My father was an my father, he flew helicopters in Vietnam and, you know,
my father's in Vietnam.
Wow.
Did cool heroic shit in the war. But then he was an insurance salesman when I was growing up. And
big difference.
There was a guy that my dad invited over to our house to watch. It was the Redskins versus the Cowboys.
And that's the biggest big rivalry, game, man.
Right? So my brother is an absolute football lunatic. And this guy that my dad had insurance is over watching. And he's rooting for the Cowboys in our house.
Uh-oh.
And my brother loses his mind. He's going, fuck you, man. You are in a Redskin house eating Redskin potato chips, sitting on a Redskin couch. You will shut your fucking mouth in this Redskin house. And like my brother was going to beat this guy's ass. And like, you know, my dad's doing business with him.
Your dad like, dude, dial it back.
No, my dad had a couple of drinks. I think like, he was, you know,
amused by it.
But that clip was clearly of my brother.
Of your brother. Holy shit.
It reminded me exactly of that day, and I'll never
so hilarious.
Forget. And the guy shit in his pants, and he didn't say another word for the rest of the game.
Now, of course.
Because my brother was like,
oh, yeah.
You know, the Skins are losing, and he's... My brother is definitely... When he... gets the high decibels, you know.
Oh, yeah, you don't.
You do what he says.
Here's your brother.
Fuck you!
That was him when the guy said, look, I like the Cowboys.
Fuck you!
Now, you said, I love that we didn't really address it. You said that your family, you take pride in the fact that they kind of sound like black people, right? Or talk.
We have a D.C. pride thing.
Yeah?
And
D.C.'s Chocolate City, for people who don't know.
Yeah, and so my father and my uncle and my aunts and uncles, there's a certain blackness to our family in the way we articulate ourselves.
I like that, man. Can you close your eyes for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me if you hear your father, okay?
Hey, Tom, I want you to call your mama and tell her thanks for Thanksgiving dinner.
God, my father's dead, but I think he just came back to life.
Holy shit.
Wow.
That was me.
That was
really,
yeah. God. Do I sound like a black guy to you?
No, but I think you should take me to a baseball game.
Tommy, let's play this with Rhodes, though, seriously.
Okay.
But you know what you got to do? You got to shout. You got to bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Tom Rhodes, close your eyes.
I do different black voices.
And tell me if you, what you hear, who you hear.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What's up, man?
Does that sound like a black guy to you?
Somewhat.
Yeah?
Okay.
Hey, Kane!
Black guys just yell in the streets sometimes. That's what that is to me, as a black dude yelling in the streets. I've told the story before,
the best
but
story,
like, one time I was hanging out in front of the Comedy Store here in LA, and the car pulled up, and Big Daddy Kane, a famous hip hop artist, got out. So what I did was, when I saw him look the other way, I saw where he was. He turned away for a second, and I went,
"What's up, Kane?"
Like that. And then I just saw him snap his head back, and he was like, and we just watched him. He was just looking for he's looking for the black person that he knew said that, but it was me.
But then
I tricked him.
But there was also this time on Fairfax.
Oh, yeah. We were in Fairfax. We were in the car, and I saw like a black dude walking down the street, and, you know, like, just like he looked like a brother from the streets, you know what I mean? Like he just had his... Mm. hat turned to the side and baggy shit on, and I was just like,
"What's up, Kai?"
And like it was like he knew there was like a special bond where he was just like,
Luke here,
right back to me. Like he knew.
He answered Tom's call to the it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I'm trying to get some voiceover work, you know.
That's gonna do it.
Yeah. You do think so? Is that a good take?
Hey, Culligan man. Hey, Culligan man. You just try different Just try yelling out different products and stuff. Hey, FedEx! Is that FedEx?
Yo, FedEx! Overnight delivery, man!
That could get that's me. That's really a really good.
Dollar menu, y'all.
That's so good, you man.
Can do this.
Wow, I like it already. Dude. What about Ovaltine?
Go take a shit, man.
Is that what that makes you do? I don't know what Ovaltine
does. Ovaltine's just chocolate milk for kids.
Delicious shit.
That's good.
Is that good?
That was really good.
That's my loud black voice.
Hey, Culligan Man. I don't know why.
Culligan Man.
Yo, Culligan Man.
Does that company even exist anymore?
That's a water company.
It's a water,
right?
Yeah.
Culligan Water.
Gotta hydrate, man.
There you go.
All right. It was really ridiculous.
This was so much fun. Will you do this again?
Yeah, I would love to do this as often as possible.
You have world tours. And let's... To remind everybody, we like to leave them on this.
You guys are a stitch.
It's fun, man.
And
we love
little, God.
Good times, right?
We like having fun. And you know what we'll have next time? We'll have a fourth mic.
Yes.
And I'll force you to talk.
We're forcing the...
You are jumping in on the next
show. You say
now,
hello?
Whenever I have an orgasm, I'm going to imagine it's clamped.
Let's find out. Let's make sure. I mean, obviously, we'll put this up when the episode goes up, and there'll be links just for people to know. The website, is it TomRhodes.com?
TomRhodes.net.
Ah.
TomRhodes.net.
Okay. Someone's had a website for a while. Mm-hmm. And Twitter?
_TomRhodes.
But
_TomRhodes.
But Rhodes is spelled R-H-O-D-E-S.
Like the Greek island.
Word.
There you go.
Oh, bless you. Someone just shit her pants.
Oh, she shit herself. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Asha, say hi to people. It's Asha.
Say hi, Ashna.
Just say hi because...
Hello.
Yeah.
Say hi, Ashna.
Hi.
It's Ashna. I'm sorry.
Ashna.
Ashna. I've been calling you Asha.
Ashna.
Aw.
That is...
She's adorable.
Tom's lovely
She
Dutch
never
wife.
Wants to get in on the show business.
Ashna. I wish we were... You know, we're right now, like, I just imagined us, like, that we were on vacation right now.
Yeah.
Like, we could do a couples trip, and, like, if we were...
Holy.
If we were in, like, Kauai right now...
That'd be so much
I'd be
fun.
Like, all right, so I'm just going to clean up, and you guys ready to go have dinner and drinks, and then we would go watch sunset or whatever and just get hammered.
It'd be fun.
Get steaks or fish.
Yeah.
Asha's got stories. Did you grow up in Amsterdam?
No, Rotterdam.
Rotterdam.
But
okay.
In the Netherlands, yeah.
So you grew up like super liberal and hip and cool and stuff. Wow. Do you smoke weed?
No.
Cuz wait, can we just ask?
She hates it. She
what? Uh-uh. Really?
Most Dutch people, it's not
like
cool
it.
To smoke weed.
Really?
Because it's legal, they teach their children that the common saying in Holland is that only teenagers and tourists smoke weed.
It's true.
So if you're over 30 and you're still smoking weed, you're kind of looked down upon in Dutch society.
It's like being a New Yorker.
The guy doesn't have a shit together. He's still smoking weed after 30.
So what you're saying,
a New Yorker that hangs out in Times Square, right? You're like,
new? Yeah. The impression that I got in Holland the second, I've been there once before, but this time around, like hanging out with Rhodes and all the other people and kind of knowing the people, they are a bit more conservative than we think.
They're very conservative, and it's a very Calvinistic Christian society where they believe in partying, but after you've worked a 16-hour day.
Yes.
Okay.
You can't just party and not have earned it.
Right.
You know, they're very, you know, liberal, I'm sure.
But that's probably why it's
they're
such...
They're open-minded sexually in a lot of
ways.
So
how does that come into play, though, with the Calvinistic work ethic and the... You know what I'm saying? Like, how does that... Because we're very puritanical. The Americans have a work ethic, but there's no sense of... Well, you can pay for sex as long as we profit off of it. It's awesome. Like, there's not that logical step that the Dutch have taken. Do you understand?
Right. Well, like the Dutch are historically great business people.
Is that what it is?
They also, it would be frowned upon if your Dutch colleague you knew went to prostitutes.
Okay. But for tourists.
So they recognize it needs to exist, that it's going to exist, and why not make money off of it in a business sense? So prostitution and drugs... It's more a moneymaker for the people that visit there.
And it's worked, correct? Has it worked?
Yeah.
I mean, for society and for being profitable, because I kind of wish America, like I saw a documentary.
Right, and then they can regulate, like, you know, the prostitutes have to have I think it's every 3 months, like AIDS tests and be tested so they can control diseases. With legalizing drugs, they can they can contain it. They can you know, keep it in certain areas, and they know where things are happening instead of it being at the schoolyard in where the rich people live.
Because I saw this documentary about heroin addicts. And what the government was doing was giving free heroin out to those junkies. Like, so the junkies knew to show up at this time and place and that they would get free drugs, and the drugs were clean. They didn't have to rob other people to get drug money. And it kind of worked.
Well, it used to be like in the 80s, there was a 60 Minutes thing on Needle Park in Vondel Park. Mm-hmm. And older people will sometimes ask me, oh, there's a park there where everybody's lying around on heroin. No, that was in the 80s. They cleaned it up.
Yeah.
And when I had one of those five-minute films at Christmas time, we went – there's a food mobile truck that goes around and feeds homeless people. And then we stopped there on the outskirts of Amsterdam. There's a building. It looks like a old elementary school building or something where the drug addicts are, the heroin addicts. And they can go there and shoot up all day long, like you're saying,
which
with free needles, clean
drugs.
There's an agency in Amsterdam where you can take them. Anyone can take your cocaine or heroin and take it to this government agency, and they'll take a little piece of it, and they'll test it and go, oh, that's very strong. It'll kill you. Or, oh, this is
really?
Such and such.
Wow.
And then they will give you your drugs back. They're very much about... you know,
safety.
Reasoning and safety, and you know, we understand people are going to do things even though we might not like it, but we don't want you to die.
Now, but how did they become such a reasonable, logic based? That's a very logic based way of running your society. Americans, we confuse Christianity with government. There's still a very heavy Christian leaning. Now, how is it that the Dutch
Americans have a hard
so
time understanding
rational?
that there can be a code of morality outside of Christianity?
Right.
Right.
That someone could have a moral sense of what's right or wrong and not be a Christian.
It could have zero ties to any type of
religion
at all.
Yeah,
they could just be morally, you know, decisive about, hey, this is good, this is bad. I'm not affiliated with any group whatsoever. But I just am, and because that's actually looked at with suspicion in America.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
right.
Wait, what are you trying? You're not Christian, and you're not religious, and you're trying to say what's good or bad. There's no value placed on that here.
No, we don't believe that you can have ethics and morals unless it's
outside
tied to the New Testament,
right.
Or the Old Testament. So, but okay. So historically, the Dutch are descendants of what? Vikings? Is that what we're looking at? Like Saxons?
The national anthem says, "I have German blood in me," and they're right next to Germany.
Yeah,
Teutonic.
I think they're.
Well, the Germans are very logical as well. I mean,
but they
a little too,
hate or, Germans, yeah. And they. They hate
they
when
do.
You compare them to
Everybody
Germans.
Everybody hates the Germans.
But it's funny, the first line of their national anthem says, "I have German blood in me."
Mm.
And yet they hate the Germans.
And she's looking at you like, fucking seriously?
What is it the first line of the, what, say the national anthem? What's the, is it the first or second line?
Please.
Please.
What's
Come
the
on,
line
Ash,
that
no,
I
please.
Have German blood in me? Say it.
In Dutch?
Yes.
In Dutch, in
do
Dutch.
It.
Yeah, in Dutch.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
She's had a
few. Can you see?
Now I have to talk after three glasses of wine.
Okay, let me start it
by
for you.
Mercedes.
Welchen deutschen Blut. Ja.
Moichen bleuchen Dutz.
Moichen Dutz.
Moichen deutschen Blut. BMWs are fast. Is that it? All right. This is crazy now.
But that is interesting. And I like that they're... But the Netherlands are generally more rational. Like, for instance, I saw this thing about Norway that they allow prisoners, like murderers. They just put them on this island. And these guys just hang out and they get to go home on the weekends.
It is pretty... Wow. Yeah. Their prison... our prison system, you watch the... You watch our shows.
Yeah.
The prison is the fucking... The deepest pit of hell in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, we don't actually believe in, like, you know, this is a like you did something bad. We're removing you from society. There's going to be a real valiant attempt made at reforming you. Here it's just like you are going to the shithole, and over there, like in Norway, like you're saying that Norway, it was like
rehabilitation.
It's rehabilitation. It's like proper. Think about what you did. Like let's
right. Maybe you can go home if you're good on the weekends. Yeah. We'll let you walk around and look at nature and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's maybe you'll become a human after right. this experience. Right. Yeah. You'll stop murdering people.
Here it's like in America, it's like you go to prison, right. like you will want nothing more but to murder more after this experience. I know. You haven't murdered yet? You will murder after this.
Yeah, yeah. And it's learn cool crazy. Techniques.
Wow. Well, all right. All right. And one more time, what is the name of the new album and the new special and where they can find it?
Colossus of Me is the new CD.
Double
CD. You can get it on iTunes and Amazon. And my new special is Light Sweet Crude. And it's on Netflix.
Yeah, which
and
is
you
great.
Can also download it from my website, tomrhodes.net, and chill.com.
And chill.com. Oh, chill.com.
Little $5 download situation.
Yeah.
All the hot little smart kids are doing.
That's what I want to do next. I think that's so brilliant. Did you have a good experience doing that?
Just,
how do you feel?
Just started out. I didn't realize I could sell it independently until a few days ago.
That's the way to go.
So.
Great.
That's the way to go. Oh, great. Awesome. Good for you.
Mr. Tom Rhodes,
awesome.
Thank you for coming to
love
your mom's
you
house.
Guys.
We love
please,
you.
Please
thank you
come
for
out. Next time, seriously though, because we found that place, the dinner that we had the awesome dinner at.
Yes.
We should do podcast and then go have dinner.
I'm in.
That'd be awesome.
I'm in.
If you guys
like a good
are here.
Dinner.
February?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here.
I'm back.
Come back, please.
Tom Rhodes will be back, everybody.
With Oshna, and she'll have a microphone.
I'll try to get my wife to talk next time.
And we'll
she
leave
will.
You.
More wine. More wine.
Talk about your butt flute, honey.
Now you're getting it? That's what we do at your mom's house.
We'll leave you with...
Oh, and thank you for all the recordings of my father.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, my God. It's so great to hear his voice again.
We'll leave you with another sample of Tom's father and then a song to take you out. Thanks again for coming. Thank you, listeners, for listening. Don't forget to go to yourmomshousepodcast.com and check out all the new stuff in the store, the Real Mommy's Only shirt, the Wipe Down Collection bundle.
So fun.
And, and of course, have a happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas.
And in the spirit of Hanukkah, can I just say that Bette Midler, if you're listening, I meant every word of it.
Hey, he wants you. He wants you, everybody. Okay.
Got bye, it. Guys. Bye, meows.
Damn, damn that nigga nice. That nigga nice. Nigga nice. Nigga nice. Nigga nice. Nigga nice.
Set it off
in this motherfucker.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm KRS and I'm on the mic and premieres on the breaks. I won a Grammy, I won't win a Tony, but I'm not the only MC keeping it real. When I grab the mic and smash rap, my girls go lightly. They can't move a crowd, not even slightly. It might be the fact that they express whackness. Let me show you whose ass is the blackest. I flip a strip a little bit, you about to dip in shit. Too sick to get with it and make you